You know, some of the greatest stories that we love to hear, that we love to tell, start with the question, you remember that time when, and you can fill in the blank. And depending on who asked that question, we may never know where that story's going. We try to remember back, okay, when I was around you, oh goodness, this could be an interesting story. But we never hear anybody say, hey, you remember that time when it was January 14th, 1984 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Well, tell me what happened and I might. Because you see, there's very few things in life that we remember by a date, a time, and a minute that they happened. But what we remember is the moment that they happened. Which is why we start the story, y'all remember that time when we were at such and such place and this is what we did? Because what matters the most are the moments. It's not all about what time or what day or what calendar year it was. What we don't want to miss in life are the moments. Paul understood that. If you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, as we're going to visit there one more time. As we're wrapping up our January series called Making the Most of the Time. And this is a powerful verse to think about, especially early on in a new calendar year, to think about how am I going to spend 2020? How is my life going to look during this year? Paul reminds us that it's important to make the most of the time. Would you stand with me in honor of God's Word as we read from Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 15 and 16. Paul says this, pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Pay careful attention. Make the most of the time. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you have given us this time that we are here now. You give us the time that we have each and every day of our lives. And Lord, what we do with that time matters. May we get that. May we understand that. So that we can live a life that one day when we look back over our lives, we don't regret how we spent our time. But we rejoice in how we spent our time. Lord, help us to do that. We can't do it on our own. We need you. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you've been with us through this month, you'll be familiar with what I'm about to share with you. But to understand what Paul is talking about here, we have in this case, we need to kind of go back to the original languages. We have to understand that in the Greek, the word time has two different Greek words. And if we don't get this and understand this, we'll kind of miss out. So it may be a review for you, or it may be something brand new for you. But in the Greek, there's two words for time. One is chronos. That's our chronological or our sequential time. That's what you look at when you look at your watch. And if I keep going, you'll keep looking at that watch and wonder, okay, chronologically, when is he going to finish his time today, right? But the other word is kairos. And that is the right or opportune moment. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul uses the word kairos, making the most of the time, not necessarily seconds, minutes, hours, days, but making the most of the moment. You see, the moments are what really matter in your life and in my life. We have to manage the chronos so that we can have room for the kairos, so that we can have those moments that we can say, y'all remember that time when? And go on and tell the story. It's important to understand how much those moments matter. So in the month of January, we've been talking about making the most of the time, making the most of our moments. Our first week, we talked about time in the Word. We talked about moments each and every day, not sitting down going, I'm going to spend 5 minutes in the Word today. I'm going to spend 10 minutes in the Word today. No, I'm going to spend moments with God in His Word, reading a book that He has preserved for me to have so I'll know about Him and I'll know about me, and I'll know how I ought to live. Our second week, we talked about time in prayer, one-on-one communication, moments alone with God the Father, talking to Him, and very importantly, taking time to listen to what His Spirit is saying in our lives as we spend time in prayer. Last week, we talked about time in worship. We talked about the importance of having moments of worshiping God, moments where we gather corporately to worship God, and moments where individually we spend time during the week worshiping God. I hope that you spent time this week having moments with God in His Word, in prayer, and in worship this past week. And if you haven't been able to be with us, those sermons are available on the website. You can check those out so you can kind of get a big picture of what we've been talking about this month. Today we're turning our attention to time spent serving. To time spent serving. You may have picked up on that focus as we sang our songs today, that today we're going to talk about not time in the sense of minutes and seconds and hours and days, but moments spent serving God and serving others. John, in his Gospel, chapter 13, records for us a moment where Jesus Himself served those closest to Him. And it's a moment that we know they would have never forgotten. And it's a moment that can share with us the importance of time spent serving. Pick up in verse 1 of John chapter 13. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Now when it was time for supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into His hands, that He had come from God, and that He was going back to God. Let's pause there for a minute and just think about this moment. We quickly read this and go on to the details of the moment, but let's just think about this time in the life of Jesus. Jesus knows that His time on earth is drawing to a close. He knows that He has His 12 gathered with Him. And this is going to be one of the last times He has any opportunity to speak into their lives, to show them something. Think about your life. If you knew you only had a few more times to be with people, if you knew maybe this was your last time with these people, what would you say? What would you do? This is that moment for Jesus and His followers. Time is short. What does Jesus do to make the greatest impact in one of these final moments that he has with them? Verse 4. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel and tied it around himself. Next he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, and to dry them with the towel tied around him. When Jesus was in the room, all eyes would have been on him. Yes, the disciples love to have little conversations among themselves, but they're going to notice that Jesus gets up from where he's sitting, and they're going to be like, "What?" I mean, just imagine being Jesus' disciple. Because anytime Jesus did something, you always had to have in the back of your mind, I wonder what he's going to do now. I wonder what he's going to do next. So they see Jesus get up and he goes over and he takes off his outer garment and he goes over and he puts on the towel and he picks up the basin and he fills it with water and he comes over to where his disciples are seated, reclining there at the table, and one by one he begins to perform the task normally reserved for the lowest servant in the household. I mean, if we said, everybody take off your shoes, somebody's going to come wash your feet, 80% of you would be freaking out right now, right? And chances are pretty good you washed your feet recently. You haven't been walking around with sandals on dirt roads with all kinds of other stuff. We'll keep it kind of tame, but feet back then were nasty. And the lowest servant couldn't wait till that didn't have to be their job anymore. And Jesus begins one by one to go to his disciples. Imagine what must have been going through their minds. We'll get a little bit of insight of what was going through Peter's mind, but just imagine they know this task is not something Jesus should be doing. Perhaps they're going, man, one of us should have probably offered to wash people's feet since nobody did it. And now Jesus is washing feet. And Peter's sitting there thinking, and Peter's never been one to hold back, right? Peter's always one to talk. It says, he came to Peter, verse 6, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? In other words, Jesus, this doesn't make sense. Who you are, you should never wash somebody else's feet. You are God. We know you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. Jesus answered him, what I am doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. What an understatement there. In other words, Peter, this isn't going to make sense to you right now, but one of these days you'll get it. The light bulb will come on. Peter's still reluctant. You will never wash my feet, Peter said. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Jesus is telling Peter, this is something I have to do. You're one of my disciples. You're one of my followers. This is an example that I'm giving you. This is a lesson that I'm giving you. This is a moment you're never going to forget when the Son of God stooped down to wash your feet. But we know Peter. Peter's go big or go home. Peter's not going to just leave it at that. So Peter says, verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. If you're going to think, if I have to have you wash my feet to be a part of you, then just give me a full-blown shower. Pour that bucket over my head and clean me from head to toe. But Jesus says this, one who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet. But he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, not all of you are clean. And we would be remiss if we didn't pause there to think about the gravity of that moment. You see, Jesus set an example of serving. But he didn't just serve the ones that were on his side. His betrayer was there. And you know, it's easy to serve people that we like. It's easy to serve people who are like us. It's easy to serve people who like us and might one day do something for us in return. But in the room, the biggest enemy of Jesus that day was a man named Judas. And Jesus was willing to wash his feet too. So we need to be challenged by that. Because it's so easy to get caught up in serving people who are like us. And people who like us. But Jesus went above and beyond. Verse 12, when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you." And I noticed there an interesting description. Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord." Teacher first, Lord second. But what I really am is Lord first and teacher second. Not only am I giving you an example as your teacher, but I am giving you an example first and foremost as your Lord. And Jesus says, if I, your Lord, can stoop down to take the task of the lowest servant and wash your feet, you should do just as I have done. Verse 16, truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus' final moments with his closest followers, he says, what do I need to teach you? I need to teach you how to serve. I need to teach you how to humble yourselves and serve. Why did Jesus do that? Because he knew the guys in the room. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10 to get a little insight into what Jesus knows to be true about his followers. Jesus' disciples loved to compete with one another for who was the best. Who was the most important? Mark, in his gospel in chapter 10, tells us about James and John and their request to sit at the right hand and left hand of Jesus when he comes into his kingdom and he comes into his glory, and Jesus gathers his disciples together and he tells them this, verse 42 of Mark chapter 10. It says, Jesus called them over and said to them, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions act as tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." If there'd ever been an individual deserving of being served, it's God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Everywhere Jesus went, if people truly had understood who he was, the red carpet would have been rolled out. Only the best would have been served. He never would have had to think about his own feet getting washed. Because everywhere he went, everyone would have done all that they could to serve him. But Jesus says, that's not why I came. And once again, he's having to explain to the knuckleheads, his followers, who just never seem to get it, but we can't be hard on them because we're just like them. It's not about being served. It's not about what can you do for me. It's about serving others. It's about putting others first. It's about making sure others are served. And again, not just those who look like us and talk like us and act like us. But it's about serving those that God places in our path, so that we can have moments spent serving Him. And it sounds so easy, but it's so hard. Because this world wants to fill our minds with the lie that it's all about us. Everything is customized to make us have an easy life. Can have it on your front porch by tomorrow. You can go and get that whatever way you want. If you don't like that, you can have it custom just to your liking. The world fills us with lies that say it's about you, your comfort, your benefit, your happiness. But see, we serve a Savior who says something different. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Having a servant's heart is hard. It's challenging. It goes against our flesh. It goes against our nature. It goes against what the world tells us. But Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, tells us how it's possible. Chapter 2, verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Paul, that sounds impossible. How in the world can we do it? Verse 5. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The one who is worthy to be King of kings and Lord of lords and have the name that is above every name did not have that as his focus when he walked on this earth. He deserved it, but he set that aside. He didn't come here as any less God than he was when he was in heaven. We don't understand how fully God and fully man can both work at the same time, but that was Jesus. And he didn't come here thinking, hey, everybody needs to treat me well. Everybody needs to do this for me. I am God. That was not his attitude. His attitude was this. Let me get up from this table. And let me put a towel around my waist. And let me wash your feet. So that you can see what it's really like to serve others. Let me take the task of the lowest person in the room. And let me do it for you. Having a servant's heart is not easy. It goes against everything our flesh says, everything our world says. But Jesus says, follow my example. You see, it's a moment that his disciples could never forget. Y'all remember that time Jesus got up from the table? We didn't know what he was doing. And he went over and got the water basin. And remember that he came and washed our feet? And when he sat back down, he said, this is an example for you to follow. Serve other people just like I have served you. Moments spent serving are some of the best moments you'll ever have. Are they hard? Yes. Do they require sacrifice? Yes. Are we going to skip some over some of them? Yes. We'll regret the moments we skipped a whole lot more than we'll regret the moments that we took. Paul says, pay careful attention then to how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Making the most of the moment. Redeeming the moment. It's not about the seconds. It's not about the minutes. It's not about the hours or the days or the weeks or the months or the years. When it's all said and done, it's about the moments. So what does 2020 need to look like for you? It needs time in the Word. Moments with God in His Word each and every day. It needs time in prayer. Moments alone with your Father in communication with Him. It needs time in worship where we stop looking at us and start looking at Him, acknowledging who He really is. And all three of those things drive us to time spent serving. Moments where we put others first. Where we take the task that's the lowest of the low. Not because we want somebody to say, wow, you did a great job serving. But it's because we remember that time when Jesus got up from the table and he washed his disciples' feet. That's the kind of 2020 we need. Ask yourself the question, was 2019 more about God or more about me? Honestly. And then ask the question, what do I want 2020 to be? Do I want it to be more about God instead of being more about me? If I do, I've got to make the most of the time. We're almost a month in to this year. One down, 11 more to go. God is asking you. He's asking me. What are we going to do with the time we have left in this year? It may seem like we've got a lot of time, but if 2020 goes by as fast as 2019 does, we'll be standing here in January 2021 talking about how fast 2020 went. The Kronos is flying by. What matters is the Kairos. What matters is the moment. What moments are you going to make in 2020? God is asking that question. What is your answer to Him today?